can give that person that control over food so that they can focus on things and actually get to the root of maybe why they're struggling with their relationship with food or weight gain at the same time. Because often weight gain is a symptom of something else that is going on underneath. Yes, it could be as simple as just overconsumption of food, but oftentimes there's different layers going on at the same time. Hormonal imbalances, relationship to food, digestive issues, all sorts of different things. Welcome back to the Mind Body Her podcast. I am your host, Mia Schick, a registered holistic nutritionist. In this podcast, we cover everything from women's hormone health, metabolism, to business, and so much more. Today, we are delving into the world of GLP-1 medications, what they are, how they work, and nutrition strategies that you can use alongside them. Plus, we'll explore natural ways to support weight loss and metabolism without using medication. So let's get into it. GLP-1s have absolutely exploded over the last few years, and I think a lot of people are surprised, as I'm a holistic nutritionist, they're surprised that I actually support people taking this medication. I will put a but in there. I have been working in the metabolic weight loss industry for almost a decade now, and I know that weight loss is not easy, and specifically for people who have issues like insulin resistance, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Maybe they have a very poor relationship with food, or they struggle with binge eating or ADHD, or just feel very, very out of control around food. These medications can be absolutely life-changing for people. So I absolutely do support people incorporating this into their routine. Obviously, we want to be making changes with our diet and our lifestyle alongside taking this medication. Otherwise, if we don't do that, it's kind of like putting a band-aid over a bullet wound, right? And all those issues, if we are not nourishing ourselves properly, or we have emotional connections to food that we're not dealing with, then if this person decides to come on that medication, then all of those things are going to still be there. So it has to be a yes and kind of approach. Yes, taking medication, but also incorporating diet and lifestyle and looking at those other contributing factors that maybe lend this person to put on weight in the first place. So let's talk about what GLP-1 stands for. So GLP-1 stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. So it's a peptide made out of amino acids, and it's actually a naturally occurring hormone that is released in our gut after eating. So we naturally produce this hormone, and it is produced more or less depending on what we eat. So foods that are higher in protein, higher in fiber, higher in fats are going to have a bigger influence on the release of this hormone, helping to regulate appetite, versus things that are maybe sugary, don't have a lot of fiber, fat, more carbohydrate laden. So this hormone, it signals to the brain when we're full, when we've had enough food to eat. It slows down how fast our stomach is emptying, and helps to regulate our blood sugar. So these GLP-1 medications, so the most common ones that we are going to hear are Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. These are synthetic versions that actually mimic this hormone. So they're GLP-1 agonists. So they mimic this hormone in the body. So we touched a little bit on how they work. So the biggest one is that it really helps to regulate appetite, regulate blood sugar, control cravings, and help the person eat in a calorie deficit. So a calorie deficit is a main driver in weight loss, which is essentially eating less than the body is burning throughout the day, therefore resulting in that weight loss. So what it does is it slows gastric emptying. So the stomach takes longer to break food down, and getting kind of, instead of a whole bunch of energy all at once, you're getting smaller amounts, which helps to keep the person fuller for longer. It also helps to increase insulin release after meals and reduce glucagon, therefore stabilizing blood sugar. I'm a big advocate for regulating blood sugar when you're on a weight loss, just for these primary reasons that it helps to regulate hunger and regulate cravings, helping that person stick to healthy eating for the long term. So I'm all for blood sugar regulation. We'll talk about some strategies that you can use if you don't want to take medication, and how you can naturally increase GLP-1 in the body by using certain supplements, and also strategies around building out your meals. It can also act on the hypothalamus, decreases appetite and reduces that food noise. So food noise is something that I hear about pretty commonly in my practice. I find it happens for two reasons. So if somebody is primarily focused on weight loss, sometimes they overthink about their meals. Why feel guilty? Why did I eat that? Did I eat too much, too little, too much protein? Constantly overthinking things, and it just takes up a lot of mental space and a mental chatter. Then you have the other side that could be from undernourishment. It could be from hormonal imbalances like insulin resistance that's very common in PCOS and also women in their menopausal years, as that's when those cells aren't uptaking glucose properly. So the brain tends to think that we're not getting enough nutrients or nourishment, and we go on these blood sugar roller coasters and tend to think about food and crave sugar and carbohydrates more. So that person commonly is just thinking about food almost all day long, and that can be really, really hard to ignore. So these medications can be very, very helpful. As I've mentioned, I have been in the weight loss industry for almost a decade, and I 100% support people who do decide to take these medications, because I know how much of a challenge it can be when it kind of feels like food is controlling your life. So this medication helps people to feel more in control and make the changes that they need. The other thing that can do is help improve insulin sensitivity. So we want our cells to be insulin sensitive, not insulin resistant. So insulin is a hormone produced by the pancreas. Insulin is produced by the pancreas that helps. It acts like a key, teams up with glucose and acts like a key to the cell to let that glucose into the cell to be utilized as energy. We don't want any resistance there. Otherwise, that glucose isn't getting into the cells. And oftentimes, if there's some resistance there, then that can lead to weight gain. So it can help improve insulin sensitivity, help our cells uptake that glucose from the food that we eat and utilize it as energy, and also can help be helpful for reducing inflammation over time. I've actually started to see some of this trickling over into other, not necessarily just for weight loss support, but in support for autoimmune conditions with lupus. I've even seen people use it for alcohol addiction at the same time. So it'll be interesting to see over the next few years about the different uses for this, and not necessarily just for weight loss. Originally, these medications were used to treat type 2 diabetes because of their influence on insulin. But people started to notice that weight loss was a result. And so therefore, the shift in marketing has really been for weight loss support. So who is this good for? Just like I mentioned, type 2 diabetes was what is originally used for, as it helps to improve glycemic control and can also help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. Very helpful in overweight and obesity, particularly for individuals that have metabolic dysfunction, insulin resistance, which we've talked about a handful of times, and who just struggle with sustainable weight loss. So if you are somebody that classifies, I've done absolutely everything, I work out hard, I've watched my diet, I eat less, and the scale is not moving, then this is where you can layer that in and it can be helpful. Polycystic ovarian syndrome. So mostly in that case, around 80% of people who have PCOS or women that have PCOS have insulin resistance. And so this can directly support hormone health by those insulin dynamics. And again, clients with food noise or binge restrict patterns, as it helps to calm dysregulated hunger signaling, providing psychological relief and behavioral space for change. So that's when coming back to that control. So it can give that person that control over food so that they can focus on things and actually get to the root of maybe why they're struggling with their relationship with food or weight gain at the same time, because often weight gain is a symptom of something else that is going on underneath. Yes, it could be as simple as just overconsumption of food, but oftentimes there's different layers going on at the same time. Hormonal imbalances, relationship to food, digestive issues, all sorts of different things. So it's not just quite as easy with weight loss as just like exercise more and eat less, which we've been told to do years and years and years. It's just not that simple for some people. And it's very, very hard to stick to that at the same time, because the body has really interesting mechanics in order to change our metabolic health at the same time. Some of the big contraindications that I have seen is mostly in regards to digestive health. So because it slows down digestion, it can really influence motility. So constipation is a really big one that I often see. We'll talk about some strategies how to manage that as we go. I've also seen muscle loss at the same time. That's going to happen with any modality that somebody uses that results in rapid weight loss. Again, we'll talk about this a little bit further and how to mitigate this. Furthermore, I can have issues like pancreatitis, severe GI issues, even thyroid cancer. So just things to think about before jumping on the medication. So just some implications for disordered eating and food noise. So I work with a lot of women who come to me after they have tried absolutely everything. They've been on diet after diet after diet, lost weight, gained weight. They just feel kind of stuck on the roller coaster and they're sick of it and wanting to learn how to properly nourish their body. So these GLP-1s can play a role with people who struggle with disordered eating and that food noise. Chronic dieting, insulin resistance, and stress can really blunt leptin and GLP-1 signaling, which can cause constant hunger and that mental preoccupation with food. The GLP-1 therapy normalizes appetite signaling and reduces hyperactivation of the reward system. So if you or somebody has something like reward deficiency syndrome, where you don't get that natural kind of dopamine release or pleasure response from typical activities, sometimes food can play a role with that and actually increase that dopamine reward activation system more than others, and this medication can allow individuals to eat more intuitively. Something again that I often see with people is like, wow, I've taken this medication and I actually feel like I can eat like a normal person for the first time in my life. But of course, if we're not addressing these underlying emotional and behavioral patterns, GLP-1 use may simply just shift the dependence from the food over to that medication. So coming back to what we said in the beginning, it has to be that and approach. Yes, taking the medication, but also addressing some of the underlying issues about why we are eating the way we are, making the choices that we are. So nutritional support during GLP use. So because GLP-1s modify appetite and digestion, targeted nutritional strategies are absolutely critical. The number one being is protein intake. So sometimes appetite suppression, if someone is taking this medication, they obviously see a reduction in appetite. This can lead to insufficient protein intake because protein is very, very satiating. So you tend to get quite full quite quickly. But if we're not eating enough protein, we are going to increase that muscle loss. So ideally, we want to be aiming for 25 to 30 grams of protein per meal, actually consuming that protein first so that we're not eating all the other stuff and then lacking on the protein because we're too full. So we really want to prioritize lean, easily digestible sources if fullness or nausea is occurring. So things like Greek yogurt, eggs, fish, maybe even incorporating protein powders at the same time if we're having a challenge meeting our protein goals. Muscle is really important, especially as we age, especially for women. It's very not only important for our metabolic health, so muscles help to soak up excess glucose. For one, stores glucose as glycogen in our muscles at the same time, but also just really important as we get older for our bone health and bone density. Want to maintain muscle. It's very, very hard to put muscle on, again, as we age and as we get older, unless we're doing things like strength training, eating enough calories and eating enough protein. So not something to skimp on. Just another layer in this, adding in some strength training to your protocol would be also very, very helpful in reducing muscle loss at the same time. Second thing I would focus on is fiber and overall digestive health. So I really want to emphasize hydration, making sure we're drinking enough water, of course. Things like magnesium. So magnesium citrate can be helpful if somebody is a little bit backed up. It can help relax the intestines and help encourage bowel movements. I think electrolytes overall would also be something to incorporate as well. And then aiming for around 25 to 35 grams of fiber per day. You might have to work up slowly if you're not eating a lot of fiber at the same time. And again, drinking lots of water with that at the same time. Fermented foods or maybe a probiotic to help maintain microbial diversity at the same time. This can also help with peristalsis and just get things moving along. So kimchi, sauerkraut, kefir, yogurt, miso. those sorts of foods can be really beneficial. Other thing is, it's not necessarily a good thing if someone is just not thinking about food and not eating all day. That's not conducive to overall health either. We need to be getting in adequate nutrients to support our hormones, to support our metabolism, have healthy hair, skin, and nails, and just overall proper function and mental health. So that appetite reduction sometimes can cause people, because they're under eating, to have some nutrient deficiencies, or they're not getting adequate nutrients in through our diet. So it can limit intake of things like B vitamins and iron and magnesium and those electrolytes. So sometimes considering supplementation or just increasing our nutrient dense foods. Something that I see a lot of what I eat in a day videos, and what I commonly see with people who are doing these what I eat in a day videos that are on these GLP-1 medications is, yes, there's an emphasis on protein, but not a big emphasis on fiber or just getting in enough macronutrients. So when I think of macronutrients, that's when I think of diversity, especially in plant foods, getting color on our plate, adding in nuts and seeds and things like that. Beans can be really important at the same time. And just getting a variety of different types of foods into the diet at the same time. You don't really want to be eating the same stuff all the time. The other thing to consider is blood sugar stability. So even with GLP-1 support, balanced meals, so making sure our meals have protein, fiber, and healthy fats help to prevent hypoglycemia and those energy crashes. So we don't want to be going 3, 4, 5, 6 hours without any food in the tank, because when that happens, you're going to have an energy crash. You're going to feel tired. You might feel hangry or a little bit shaky. So sometimes for people that are on these medications, having more small, frequent meals might be a little bit easier early on, especially due to that slower digestion. So coming off GLP-1s. So typically what happens for people is you titrate up. So you start at a lower dose, you're on that until the body kind of balances out a little bit, and then you titrate up to a maintenance dose. When you've hit your goal weight, then you titrate back down. In many, many cases, people will have to be on this medication long-term, sometimes at a microdose. So typically appetite and hunger hormones will rebound, and weight gain risk is high without that foundational nutrition and mindset work. So we really, really need to focus on reestablishing consistent meal patterns, continuing with protein resistance training, having ongoing support around emotional eating and hunger awareness. So let's talk about some different ways that you can naturally stimulate GLP-1 without the use of medication. As I mentioned, there are L cells in the gut that detect specific macronutrients, especially fats, protein, and fiber, and help to further release those GLP-1s. We really want to make sure that that's what we have at our meals. What I always say to people is, take your protein first, then your good carbohydrates. So ideally something that's got some fiber in it, so you're in good quality. Ideally something that has fiber in it. So squash, sweet potatoes, brown rice, quinoa, fruits, vegetables, those sorts of things. Really important. Some good healthy fats in there. And we want to have about half of our plate to be things like non-starchy vegetables. So I think of anything that's green, leafy greens, broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus, zucchini, those sorts of foods. Very satiating, got lots of fiber in them, keep us fuller for longer. The other thing is the gut microbiota interaction. So there are short chain fatty acids, especially butyrate, that is produced by bacterial fermentation of fiber, which further stimulates GLP-1 release. So we really need to be looking after the gut. The gut and the microbiome can have a big influence on our hormones, our appetite, our insulin sensitivity. So really important to look at overall digestive health. Make sure we have a strong gut microbiome. We're eating those probiotic-rich foods, as I mentioned, eating those prebiotic foods. So we have probiotics, which are the good guys. Prebiotics are foods that help to feed that bacteria and help to proliferate the good guys. So we want to have a combination of both of those things. The other is vagus nerve signaling. So GLP-1 is part of the gut-brain communication loop that influences appetite and satiety. I come back to the nervous system at the same time too. So really looking at nervous system support, regulating our cortisol, regulating our stress levels at the same time. Supplements that may support GLP-1 production, whey protein powder. Why whey protein powder over plant-based protein powder? One is going to be the amino acid complex, and it has a bigger influence on those L cell stimulation and helps to slow that gastric emptying. So that can be really helpful for just improving satiety. I'm actually a big fan, again, of incorporating whether you're on a GLP-1 medication or not. whey protein specifically can be very helpful just to increase overall protein intake, support metabolic health, and just help to regulate hunger hormones specifically. So whether you have that in the morning in a shake stirred into some yogurt, into oats, or having it in the afternoon, that's actually when I quite like it, is having an afternoon, having just a plain shake as a bit of a snack to prevent me going into dinner feeling overly hungry. I really like it for that. L-glutamine is another one. So L-glutamine is an amino acid. So this amino acid commonly used for post-workout recovery. So if someone has a lot of muscle soreness, it can be helpful for that. Very helpful for healing and sealing the lining of the intestine. So we're looking at things like leaky gut, but it also helps to support gut-derived GLP-1 release and reduces cravings. So I actually use this pretty clients who struggle with sugar cravings. It was actually interesting. I kind of came across these three things like by accident and how they influence GLP-1, because I actually make a shake that has whey protein, glutamine, and fiber in it, which we'll talk about next, a fiber supplement. And I really noticed on the days that I had this that I, like, my hunger was just more regulated. I had way less cravings, especially into the evening. And so I just started doing a little bit of research on how that influences satiety and hunger hormones and things like that too. So I dove into these supplements a little bit further, but glutamine can be really good. It's very inexpensive at the same time. A second one would be a fiber powder. So I'm a big fan of psyllium husk. So this can be helpful for, again, lots of different things. Fiber slows down that gastric emptying and helps to boost that short-chain fatty acids that trigger that GLP-1 like we talked about. Also just really good for overall digestive health. Feeds those probiotics that we talked about. Helps to firm up stools. So if you're somebody who has looser stools, it can be helpful for constipation at the same time. So all these three things, again, can be utilized with GLP-1 medications or without if you're just on a weight loss journey yourself. Then, of course, we can dive into specific foods that support GLP-1. We talked about the main ones being things like protein, fat, and fiber. Resistant starch would be another one. So resistant starch would be things that, especially carbohydrates that are cooked and then cooled. So let's take, for example, you have some rice that you cooked or potatoes that you cooked. You cooled them in the fridge and then you reheated them. Those create resistant starches that aren't as easily broken down in the gut and don't have a bigger influence on our glucose. Talked about probiotic rich foods. Protein, as I mentioned. So protein is going to be a lot of your animal-based proteins is what I would prefer for protein intake. So that's going to be chicken, fish, steak, eggs, Greek yogurt, dairy products, cottage cheese, those sorts of things. Green tea can actually stimulate GLP-1, as can coffee. But with green tea, you have to take a significant amount for it to actually have an influence on it. I can't remember the exact dose. I imagine matcha would have a similar effect and probably be a little bit more potent because it's more condensed when we're just consuming the actual whole leaf, right? Buckwheat, interestingly enough, can influence GLP-1. Bitter foods, things like arugula, and also vinegar at the same time. So actually adding some acidity to your meals, whether that's through lemon or vinegar, can help to slow down gastric emptying and regulate blood sugar levels at the same time. So as I mentioned, I support people if this is the route that they want to take. I've seen a handful of people over the last few years come into my practice for different reasons. I've had one person who, you know, we've been working on weight loss support for a long time and things aren't moving as quickly. And so adding this as a support to their nutrition and lifestyle changes. I've had people who have been prescribed the medication and just want to do it more naturally, or have people who are started to take the medication, lost a significant amount of weight, and recognize that they need to make some changes. And so I work with people from all different stages. And of course, not to say that everybody has to be on a GLP-1 medication. I think sometimes we're getting a little carried away, I think, with this. And if you are somebody that only has 10, 15, 20 pounds to lose, this might not be the right scene for you either. So I hope you found our dive into GLP-1 medications, nutrition strategies, and natural ways to support weight loss helpful. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe so that you never miss a new one. New episodes come out every single week, either with myself or with guests. Make sure to leave a review to let me know what topics you want me to cover next. And you can also follow me on Instagram for tips, updates, and behind-the-scenes content. I did want to also share that a couple of things. Brand new website is up. So as I mentioned, name has changed. So Mia Harris Nutrition before, we're going over to Mia Schick, S-C-H-I-C-K. So new website is www.miaschick.com. Brand new website, new offerings on there, program details. I have links to the blog, to previous podcast episodes. And I also wanted to share that I will be hosting a free Master Your Metabolism workshop coming up on November 19th at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. So this is a free workshop, will be about 60 minutes long. And we are going to talk everything from blood sugar regulation, calorie counting, hormones, digestion, inflammation, all sorts of things that can influence our metabolism. We'll talk about the best and worst diets for long-term weight loss support and give you some specific strategies. So if you're somebody that is feeling stuck and needing some support, then definitely come and check that workshop out. I'll put all the links to all of these things below. And thank you again for being here, and we'll catch you next time.